Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Welcome in. Wherever you may be and however you may be making this part of your day, thanks so much. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is The Herd, whether you're watching on Fox Sports 1, listening on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or the over... Are we at 10 million? 10 million subscribers to The Herd podcast? Sure, we'll just throw out a number. Nobody's checking those numbers, are they? Somebody is somewhere. Good morning to you, Joy Taylor. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Heard about a big interview over the weekend. Don't want to give it away, but if you read the Twitter sphere, you know college basketball. Somebody very, very, very close to Joy had a very, very, very big interview, which apparently went very, very well.
It's a beautiful morning in Los Angeles. The sun is shining. Welcome, Doug.
Good morning to you, Joy. So, look, college basketball has something special that everybody else sort of wants, right? Right, like, look, there's other things that college basketball has that people don't want, but college basketball has a couple things that you want. I heard this from a buddy of mine. I'll give him credit. His name's Sarin Petro. He's a very talented radio host in Kansas City. And he said, and this is a great, if the bowl system was such a good idea, how come no one's ever copied it? Right? It's a great point. Whereas in college basketball, like, what do we have? In the regular season, you have these incredible student sections. And if you look around the country, whether it's college football, they've kind of stolen that from, tried to steal that from college basketball. You get that when you watch foreign teams play. You get that in high school sports now. Teams have their own student section with their own nickname. That all started because of college basketball. But then the biggest thing that everybody wants in college basketball is, we call it March Madness. We can say it's the bracket. We can call it the NCAA tournament, which is the technical definition of it, is the 2019 NCAA National Championship Tournament, which will be decided in Minnesota, Minneapolis, a week from tonight. And the bracket is what everybody wants, right? The bracket's, and people today are bragging, like, my son, who's 10 years old, has Michigan State winning a national championship in his bracket. We'll get to bracket guy upcoming in the show. But we have this, hey, look, man, it's 40 minutes. It's one game. And we do make definitive statements, and I've hated the idea of a definitive statement in a single elimination tournament. Like, your team loses a game, and all of a sudden your conference as a whole stinks? I don't understand that. Or John Calipari's Kentucky Wildcats lose to Auburn, who was ranked in the top 15 to start the season, won the SEC tournament, and they've played Kentucky twice, blown out once, played them close at home, played them twice. Hardest thing to do in basketball is beat a team three times, especially in college basketball. Hell, it's hard to do it three consecutive times in the NBA. So you lose in overtime to a conference foe, and what's the immediate reaction? Oh, John Calipari can't coach. Mike Krzyzewski, these one and dones. They just, you can't win with the one and dones. There are first world problems with the one and dones. And a lot of times it's not just those players. It's all of the other guys that you recruit that think they're at the same level. I mean, Duke has had this problem for the last 10 years or so. I mean, look, cry me a river, but if you're not one of the top two or three, if you're not one of the starters for Duke and you see yourself as part of that recruiting class, then you're going to leave. You're going to transfer because you don't want to come off the bench because they're just going to recruit more guys over you the next year, which is what happens at Kentucky. They also run the risk of if they actually play too well and win a national championship like they did with going back with Justice Winslow. Right? Whether it was Justice Winslow or Tyus Jones. Had Tyus Jones stayed at Duke for 2 years, 3 years, or all 4 years, he could have won multiple national titles. If you have an elite-level point guard, it raises the level of everybody else. Don't believe me? I give you Michigan State and Cassius Winston. Or I give you Texas Tech and Matt Mooney. It's a two-time transfer. Older kids, veteran kids, you're good at that spot. You're good. But today, the one and done is in the crosshairs of everybody in the media. And it is a damned if you do, damned if you don't proposition, right? Like, if you don't win recruiting wars over the top prospects, let's not champion yourself. Let's not act like Roy Williams didn't want Zion Williamson. Like, he wanted him. And I don't know how much he would have played or if he would have started because he had two veterans in his front court. Roy Williams has an all solar system, all American, who's a freshman who didn't start. And he may lose him as well. So look, the issue is not just emotional, but emotional attachment, emotional connection is a big part of what allows teams to compete and to win. You want to call it chemistry? Fine. In basketball, we call being connected, right? Connected to one another, looking at each other and just knowing where the other person's going to be. But also just the idea of an emotional investment in a place. I want you to think about this for a second. Here's the difference between the Duke players and the Michigan State players, or maybe the Kentucky players and the Auburn players. I was asked driving in, I was on Dan Patrick's show, and he said, what do you think Zion Williamson's doing today? I said, well, I hope he's going back, he's going to class, you know, maybe going to get some shots up, enjoying a day off. He had himself a great weekend. They just came up a bucket short. One bucket short, that's it. One bucket from playing for a national championship in front of 70,000 people at U.S. Bank Stadium. But the thought is that he should be packing up his stuff, going to train for the NBA, removing himself from college. So if you think to yourself, what's the biggest difference? Well, the biggest difference is, as Kenny Goins hits the shot of the year for Michigan State, Goins is a former walk-on. He would have played at a mid-major level as a starter, instead bet on himself, and his dad picked up the tab and said, don't worry about it. Now he's on scholarship. But Kenny Goins, a former walk-on, hits the shot of the tournament over Zion Williamson, who's the player of the tournament and going to be the number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft. So what happens? One, Kenny Goins, had he lost last night, would have gotten home and felt terrible, as Zion Williamson feels terrible. Would have gone to class and would have been a hero, would have been a champion. And the question wouldn't have been, what are you going to do today? It's, when are you going to get back in the gym? Because the emotional investment of all those guys is, I'm here. I've unpacked mentally, emotionally, and of course, physically. I've never thought about packing up. Whereas the issue with the one and done is we're teaching players to not fully invest, not dig roots, just be a renter. Just come and stay and see what it's like. And the second you can get out, you get out. And look, I could go into the look at the NBA. When the NBA teams want to lose, what do? They just play younger players because they're not that well developed. They don't shoot the basketball as well. Don't believe me that shooting is a major factor. Look at Kentucky's inability to make three-pointers yesterday with their freshmen. Same thing happened when, you know, you go back to when Boogie Cousins was in college and they had Bledsoe and John Wall, and they played a West Virginia team that had one borderline NBA player. They finished 4 for 32 from three-point range. You improve incrementally as a shooter. Your fundamentals improve. College basketball in general, helps you improve your shooting over time. Just volume of coaching, volume of attempts. You also become a better teammate, a better team player. You understand rotations. You understand scouting reports and all of that. But to me, the biggest part outside of the physical strength of older players, because physical strength did not keep Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett from playing for a national championship. Those guys' bodies are ready for whatever level of basketball. It's in the emotional investment. Little things matter more to them because this is as good as it's going to get for Xavier Tillman and Kenny Goins. And heck, maybe for Cassius Winston. He doesn't look like an NBA point guard. He may play in the NBA, but is he really a longtime NBA player? Probably not. And so while Michigan State lost a one-and-done Jaren Jackson last year and lost a two-and-done, when you got people that are completely invested in the project's usually better. You ever done a school project? Right? You ever did a school project? There's always one person that might be super talented that sometimes misses a meeting. Don't worry, I'll get it done. I'll get it done. Tell me what you need to do. I'll get it done. But they're not fully invested. Which project is better? The slightly lesser talented group that always meets every Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the coffee shop to plan out for the 2 months leading up to the presentation? Or the more talented group that's got a bunch of things working and is worried about, you know, job applications and it's their senior year and they're... But they only have time for a meeting. I can only meet once a month, and I can't be there from 7 to 8. I can get you at 7:30. I got a bunch of other things going. Which project's better? And all we have is the data to tell us that, yes, it's a single elimination tournament. Sure, Kentucky lost in overtime, had a chance to win regulation in overtime. And yes, Duke is a made free throw away from playing in overtime and maybe playing for a national championship. But Kentucky lost to an Auburn team that lost arguably its most talented player. Duke should have lost to Central Florida, could have lost to Virginia Tech, and then did lose to Michigan State, who is without their second most talented player for the entire for most of the season. Like, it's not like you're lining up and losing to the Milwaukee Bucks or to a star-studded roster. You're losing to what anybody would consider inferior competition in terms of their overall talent. Is it coaching? Sure, give it a part. Is it shooting? Absolutely. You become a better shooter over time. College basketball actually, wait for it, helps you become a better basketball player. But is it in the connection, cohesion, overall investment in the long-term and short-term success of everybody around you? I think the answer is yes. I know the answer is yes. Those are teams that are advancing to the Final Four. Whereas great players, it doesn't mean they're terrible teammates. Zion Williamson is not a bad teammate. RJ Barrett's a little bit selfish, but he's not a bad teammate or a bad guy. Tyus Jones is a good teammate, but the connection in, hey, this is the best, this is the most important thing I'm going to accomplish in my basketball career, and whatever else happens, as opposed to whether it's Duke or Kentucky or the Arizona team of last year, if this is just a stop on the way to stardom, what would your level of investment be? How connected would you be with those around you? And that in and of itself is why the one and done hasn't traditionally worked. You got 15 years of data. You got two national championships in spite of a litany of first-round draft picks and superstars.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
If you're watching us on Fox Sports 1, you can see the chest and arms of LeBron James behind me. Photos of LeBron James in a Lakers uniform is the most you will see of LeBron James in a Lakers uniform the rest of the year. I'm sure people are just pleased as punch if they loaded up and said, hey, April game between the Warriors and Lakers, kind of a rev up for the playoffs. Think about back in January or even back in November. Man, how hot a ticket was that? Yeah, LeBron's not going to play in that. He's not going to play the rest of the year. Quote, after consulting with our team doctors and medical staff, we have decided to hold LeBron James out of games the remainder of the season. This decision will allow his groin to fully heal and is best for the future of both LeBron and the Lakers. Ooh. So the Lakers, who, by the way, won last night in New Orleans. Anytime JaVale McGee is your go-to scorer and you win an NBA game, you start kind of scratching your head. It has been a remarkable year for the Lakers. Remarkably bad. If I can think of a parallel in Hollywood, the only one I could come up with is Batman and Robin. Do you remember Batman and Robin? I'm not sure if you're big on the Batman series, but Batman and Robin had George Clooney, had Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Alicia Silverstone. Alicia Silverstone was on fire at that point in her career, right? And Uma Thurman and Chris O'Donnell. So you pick who's who in this cast. But the fact is that Batman franchise was like the Laker franchise. You put Batman on it and it wins. with the exception of that movie, which was a complete and total stinker. I mean, the cheesy Arnold lines were awful. Awful. And the stench was so bad, I don't think Alicia Silverstone has ever really recovered. It took Chris O'Donnell like 7 years before he was on a TV show that finally hit, and he was on NCIS, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger, his performance was so bad, he went into politics. Well, there's plenty of really bad actors. And it took the Batman series like a decade before Christopher Nolan revamped it and made it into an incredible new trilogy. But if you want to put the blame at two places, I think you actually have to start with Magic. Because he is Magic Johnson, right? Like his name evokes, feel like even see him cheering for Michigan State and you're like, wow, Magic. Everything he touches works. When he's with the Lakers, it just works. Well, there was the coaching thing. That didn't work. There was the late night talk show. That didn't work. But when he got involved with the Dodgers, two World Series appearances in a row. And whether or not you want to say the Dodgers didn't win those World Series, like, let's just be honest. Getting to a World Series and 2 years ago, getting to a Game 7, I mean, they have been revitalized and revamped, but let's not give Magic all sorts of credit because it's not like he's down in AAA trying to figure out who's who and what's what and how to make the right decisions as to whether or not you sign a platoon, put a platoon guy in there or sign Bryce Harper this past offseason. But Magic Johnson came back to the Lakers and said, give me a couple years and I will fix it. And this was his plan. And I'm big on the butterfly effect. You guys know the butterfly effect. Like if this doesn't happen, a bunch of the other things don't happen. Just think about the meeting that he had with LeBron on July 1st of last year. In addition to the fact that whatever his plans were and however they were agreed to by LeBron James, he never brought his head coach. Like who does that? Who thinks that's a good plan? Who thinks that's a good idea? You sit outside, and by his own account, he got there an hour early. In that hour leading up to it, you didn't think, hey, maybe I should text Luke and see if he can get in a car and drive up from Manhattan Beach and pop in on this meeting with us. Just to say hi, because he's our coach. So you immediately tell LeBron James, who's a very smart fella, right? When you walk in to make a pitch, and you don't have the head coach, what do you think LeBron James thinks? Well, he's not your coach, so he must not be mine. Immediately, Magic Johnson is to blame for the litany of errors that the Lakers have made. And then in terms of personnel, sure, I will give Rob Pelinka some of the blame. Absolutely. He's a first-time GM. But Magic's supposed to have the basketball knowledge. Magic's supposed to have the basketball IQ. He was the one who at Summer League said this was their plan to get these junkyard dogs, these veterans who guard. He watched all the playoff games and he made an assessment. And shame on us for listening to Magic. Because as great a player as Magic Johnson was, and by my estimation, and I grew up in Southern California, I watched all his games. I can tell you Magic Johnson is the greatest Laker ever. Like, we can say Kobe Bryant now, but that's because many of us have forgotten how incredible Magic was. It wasn't just that he was great. He was great. He had competitive greatness. He was great when greatness was called upon. In Boston Garden, you know, in Philadelphia, in Houston, in wherever it was. I was there when Magic came back off of hiatus from HIV, when the preseason with the Lakers, and he took over the entire forum. He's the greatest Laker ever. But he's been a commentator on the NBA Finals for both NBC and ESPN. And both times, he was awful. Do you know why? Because he's great at playing basketball, not at the other parts of basketball. So I put a bunch of blame there. On the other hand, I read this article that Dave McMenamin has out there, and I put plenty of blame on LeBron James. Because this is kind of the classic LeBron thing, where when things go right, LeBron gets the credit because, well, it's LeBron and 8 straight finals and yeah, LeBron's the GM and LeBron's got his, you know, Rich Paul as his agent and they get their kind of guys and they put together the team. What about when the roster goes wrong? He can say, hey, I was there for a 3-hour meeting, then I got on a plane and I flew to parts unknown, but shame on you. If it really mattered to you, you would have stayed there and hey, I'm going to stay in town. I'm going to do a press conference. I'm going to recruit players. I'm going to get the right guys to fit with me. Otherwise, you essentially signed off on whatever Magic wanted to do. And if what he proposed you didn't think it would work, you should have spoke up then or forever held your peace, but he didn't. We can blame Luke Walton. We can blame the unluckiness of injury. We can say that if had Lonzo stayed healthy, they would have been better. And I agree with a lot of that. I agree with a lot of, should some of their younger players not be in their feelings so much? Of course. Of course. They were unlucky because they were unhealthy. And then they let all the pressure get to them. And they didn't truly know how to play with LeBron. Then they had to learn to play without LeBron. Then LeBron being back. And some of that is just happenstance when you have injuries. But dude, this started when Magic Johnson showed up at his doorstep without his head coach. And didn't have a great plan. And then continued on when LeBron said, hey, you know, I don't love that plan. I've always had this plan. This is the plan that works for me. And if you want me, this is how we got to do it. And even though we won't put blame on him for the players that were acquired, we put blame on him for the players that were acquired because if he didn't like it, at any time, LeBron James could have picked up the bat phone and fixed things. Or at least tried to alter history. Look, like Batman and Robin, there will be another Batman. There will be another. They're going to try and revamp this franchise and do it very, very soon. But oftentimes, like the butterfly effect, it starts with the first thing, with the first meeting and the plan. And everything else goes from there.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I actually find April Fool's Day to be quite annoying. I do. I like Halloween, but I like funny costumes on Halloween. I'm not one of these guys that's like, oh, scare the pee out of me on Halloween. I just not. Like, I understand there's lots of emotions in life and you have to feel them. Fear is one that naturally you will develop and have to overcome. I don't need additional fear. So the people who pull the funny, I don't know if you guys saw the Cam Newton April Fool's prank where he offered up that he wanted his entire team to remain celibate so they could focus on the season and then said it was April Fool's. Like, that's funny. That's nothing I'm scared of. But finding somebody's inner either insecurities or deepest fears and exploiting them just to go like, gotcha, April Fool's, doesn't seem like a cool deal to me. I don't know. I don't know. Are you a big April Fool's person?
I used to be when I was younger, but now it's like it could go either way. Not everyone appreciates a practical joke.
Yeah, there's a line there. There's things that are funny, and there's things like, oh, okay.
And usually to really do a good April Fool's joke, you kind of got to toe that line.
Yeah,
it's not worth it. I don't really like practical jokes being played on me, so I like to be fair.
Do you know anyone who does? I really like to be made to look like an ass.
No, but like some people like a joke, and they're like, oh, you got me. Like, I'm going to get you back worse.
Yeah, I like these people that are like, well, I got a fake Woj tweet on April Fool's Day. Like, all right, all the dude's doing is grinding, trying to find stories. Like, literally all he does. And then you throw a fake Adam Schefter out there, and you're like, I'm sorry.
Fake Woj tweet isn't actually a bad one.
Yeah, what about fake Schefter? Fake Schefty?
But then, you know, you can't get mad when people don't take you serious anymore after that.
Yeah, that's very, very true. She's Joy Taylor. I'm Doug Gottlieb. I found this when I was driving into work today. Colin Sett is on the Fox lot. Is it still called the Fox lot? I think it's still called the Fox lot. And it's in the heart of the west side of Los Angeles. And yes, this weekend was just perfect. Like, I hate to brag, but I'm going to for a second. It was amazing. It was amazing. Like 75 to 85, depending on where you were in Southern California. Wispy clouds, light breeze. Like, you couldn't. And we complain about all the rain we've had in Southern California. It's not the snow and the cold or whatever. I was watching Sunday Night Baseball last night in Philadelphia. I don't know if anybody watched that. That looked cold. That looked miserable. You know, one of the players for the Phillies actually had a full face mask on. He had a full face, like robber face mask on. Like, that's not the experience that I had this weekend. It's a different world. But because of traffic, like there's always traffic. Like, man, how much better would Southern California be if there was just a couple less 100,000 people? I've thought this in New York. If you're in New York and after a snowstorm, people stay inside, it's quiet. And you realize, like, wow, the buildings are cool, the streets, some of them are cobblestone. really a unique city with the architecture, the new, the old. How much better would New York be if there wasn't that many? Look, I don't want anybody to die. I just want to spread us out a little bit more so that we can enjoy some of these places that we live a little bit better. But there are people I'd like to not die, but go away. Go away in sports, right? And by go away, I mean, like, look, there are just certain people, and this is a day, not just April Fool's Day, this is a day in which, to me, the number one guy or girl or person needs to go away. All right, let's start with other people. There's the Wii sports fan, for example. And this especially in professional sports. College sports, I'll give you a little bit of a pass because you might have grown up in a college town. You might have gone to that school. I still don't love it. But the Wii sports fan, we got a bunch of cap space. We are going to draft Kyler Murray. We got a tank so we can get Zion Williamson. Man, we got to trade some guys so we can get Anthony Davis. We? Who is a we? Are you practicing every day? Are you breaking down tape? You are paying money to see somebody else perform and paying money to wear their jersey. We guy is usually jersey guy, and we're kind of done with you. Like, you're a guy who everyone else, no one will say it when you're in the room, but when you walk out of the room, you're like, did he really just say we need to re-sign Dak Prescott? We? All right, here's a guy, golf round guy. You're familiar with golf round guy.
Well, you know, I played TPC Sawgrass at one time with my buddies, and we were on the golf tour. And you know, the 17th, the Island Green. I was thinking 7-iron, but I decided the wind was at my back. I would hit an 8-iron, and you know how that thing lies. And I just I don't care.
I don't. Golf is something that I like to experience on my own. I definitely can't experience it through your eyes. I play golf, but not a golfer. And you know what I really don't want to hear about? I don't really want to hear about your trip to Ireland in which you played in the muck and the rain and then went and drank a bunch of pints. Doesn't sound like an enjoyable trip. And because I wasn't there, I can't get it. Golf round guy.
Man, I shot a 79 earlier today. Really, really had the driver going.
You can go away. Little League dad. Now, I'll admit it. I can be this guy occasionally, right? You don't know love until you got your own kid, and you don't know joy in sports until you see your own kid perform on a sports field. That said, keep it to yourself, right? Here's my videos of Slugger getting a single. Here's my videos of my boy pitching. Look, he's the next Clayton Kershaw. Like, dude, he lobbed that thing up. The other kid swung and then ran to third base instead of first base. I get it. You love your child. We all love our kids. I get it. He's playing sports and you didn't take a video of him playing Fortnite. Congratulations on winning the Fortnite battle for one day. But Little League dad, we don't care. Go away. Fantasy football guy. Right? I play a little fantasy football, but I will tell you that every season runs into the next. Whether you do a keeper league or you have, I don't even know what the, when you redraft every year, whatever league you do, you're like in multiple leagues. And if you happen to be lucky enough to have a backup running back who happens to get the ball around the goal line twice in a game because of some odd circumstances, it doesn't make you some sports savant above everybody else. Congratulations, you paid attention on Thursday to the waiver wire, so you knew who was available, and you watched all the different TV shows, and you happened to pick the right guy who happened to catch the touchdown pass. That was really meaningless because your team was down 4 touchdowns, and all of us turned the game off, only you kept the game on because you like fantasy sports. Fantasy sports, vacations, you can tell us about it, but we don't care about it. But the number one guy, or girl, or grandma, or grandpa, or even kid, that frankly in sports, you need to give it a rest. You're not smarter than the rest of us, is multiple bracket guy. There's nothing worse than multiple bracket guy. I filled out 15 brackets, and bracket 2B has Michigan State and Texas Tech and Auburn and Virginia. And so I'm in the money. I'm the smart one. Volume brackets doesn't make you smarter. Heck, look, I played college basketball for 4 years. I covered college basketball for 16 years. I grew up going to Final Fours. My dad's a former coach. My brother's an assistant coach in college. I can quote you more chapter and verse on teams and styles. And you know what? I got one Final Four team. So, look, luck does play a factor. And maybe you nailed it. Maybe you paid attention to matchups and you had some algorithm and you finally figured it out. But multiple bracket guy does not own a piece of that argument. Right? Like, this is not the SAT that you get to take as many times as you can so your score can slowly improve and you can take test prep. This is, you get a piece of paper, you fill out a bunch of names, and maybe you're so like somehow you're a genius now because one of your 15 brackets, Virginia happened to come from 3 points down with 5.5 seconds to go and send it to overtime. Like, get over it. Congratulations if you won your pool. Congratulations if you picked 1, 2, 3, or all 4 Final Four teams. But if you did it with multiple brackets, we have no respect for you. Zero, in fact. That was, my opinion is so strong, my beliefs are so steadfast that I'm going to need to reconfigure it 2, 3, 4, 5, 15 times over. Life is not a choose your own adventure book. Do you ever have those as a kid? You know, and people, choose your own adventure. You'd read a chapter, and at the end, you would make a decision as what you could do, and you'd either turn to page 40, page 50, or page 60. You don't get to read page 40, 50, and 60 and then make a decision. No. Choose your own adventure. If you believe Duke was going to win a national title and they lost, they came up one bucket short, like, all right, doesn't make you the worst person on earth. But multiple bracket guy. Forget about Little League Dad and Golf Round Guy and Wii Sports Fan, Fantasy Football Guy. Oh, is there anything worse today than the guy doing the victory lap? Kind of like the camel on that commercial. What day is it? Huh? What day is it? The hump day commercial, which I love. But there are men, mostly a guy thing. Women win it, but women don't gloat and rub your nose in it nearly as much. They have class about it. Guys do not. Hey, however many brackets it takes, buddy. Survive in advance.
Read them and weep. I don't think I've ever spoken to someone who's bragged about having multiple brackets.
Greg Tuohy, would you like to hop in on this? Because we were in a meeting today, and I saw Michigan State circled as a champion, and I said, whose bracket is that? And Greg Tuohy, you said, that's my bracket.
Doug,
and
what is wrong with wanting to give yourself the best chance to win?
Well, because that's nonsense. You fill out one bracket and those are the ones you predicted. You can't just continue to fill out brackets and one of them's right and then brag about it. It doesn't even make any sense.
What if you have multiple?
It defeats the purpose of filling out a bracket.
What if you have multiple friends that offer you to join their pool and you?
So you put the same bracket.
You put the same one. I mean, you can switch out the earlier rounds if you want to. You know, have some fun. But like your final four should be your final four.
I don't think you can switch out. I think you go with a bracket. That goes your bracket. You know, if you want an alternative ending, but you can't sit there and claim like some sort of bracket superiority when you got 15 picks.
Yeah, when you did.
You just go, hey, I was lucky. Hey, I was super.
I'm with you on this. I'm not with you on the Wii guy.
Really?
I think that's a fan thing. Like you can't. It's kind of obnoxious when media members do it. Although I am guilty of that, so whatever. I'm obnoxious, but Wii guy doesn't bother me so much because you got to have some loyalty if you're a fan. You know,
that's my guy. That's my team. But Wii, no.
But nobody takes it literally. Like they don't think they're there participating in the meetings and stuff.
Oh.
And fans do play a part in the environment in places. It's why home field or home court advantage.
You with
matters.
Me on Golf Round Guy?
I don't play golf, so I'm sure. Sure.
So if somebody comes up to you and says, "Yeah, I was out at Sherwood the other day," and I was you're like, "I wish I had hearing aids that I could turn off." Right
yeah,
now.
I mean that does nothing for me.
Little League Dad.
Little League Dad, you know, I don't know. I kind of understand it. I don't mind people who are proud of their kids playing sports. It's when they get too involved, they start screaming at the refs, they start screaming at other kids, or start fighting with other parents in the stands. That's obviously ridiculous. But you know, being proud of your kid playing sports is fine.
Fantasy guy.
I'm fantasy guy.
But do you brag about your fantasy?
Yeah,
team?
I'm fantasy guy.
So you're two of these.
I'm obnoxious when I lose, and I'm obnoxious when I win.
Fantasy, you're a fantasy guy. These are things that I've learned
and
about.
I tell people all the time, like, feel free to talk to me about your fantasy team. We can discuss. Because that's the thing about playing fantasy sports, right? Like, no one cares because nobody has your team.
Right. Nobody cares. It's like your vacation. It's like your kids. Like, we don't.
Yeah, you really,
really
shouldn't talk more about your vacation other than we had a good time.
Yeah.
Is there anything more than that?
Or if you ever go, let me know. I got a great place for you to stay. I got a great place
right.
for you.
Right. Recommendations.
Like, that's fine.
Recommendations.
I do not
want to
see a slideshow. And you're like, no. I'll just send you a couple photos. Like, no. Don't care. It's going right
to delete, right to delete. I will think less of you, and I will go who dis on my text back to you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Steven Jackson, NBA champion, of course, played 14 seasons in the NBA. Let me start with college basketball before we work our way back to LeBron, because we did just see Zion Williamson. And you and I have discussed this. You've discussed it on air on how you would have gotten to play at Arizona and win a national championship. What's your takeaway from the Zion Williamson experience watching him play at Duke?
Well, first, I want to send a shout-out to Nipsey Hussle family. We lost a pioneer in our culture yesterday, so I want to send love to him and his family. Zion Williamson is special. He's very special. Something we've never seen before. I think to be 280, 40-plus inch vertical, been able to dominate in college every game, even though they didn't win. He was dominant his whole time. I think this kid is special. I think the sky's the limit for him. And he's going to take over the NBA similar to what LeBron did.
What is he in the NBA?
What is he?
Yeah.
I think he's a power forward, and at three is sometimes. He can play center in this league now, too.
Small ball five, right?
Small ball five, definitely. But I think what he needs to add is a mid-range game. And one thing about when he gets to the NBA, everybody's athletic. Everybody's tall. Everybody can block your shot. Everybody can jump with you. He's going to have to get a mid-range game and add some more offensive moves to his game. He won't be able to overpower everybody like he did in college.
Yeah, I believe the stat I saw was zero pull-up jump shots.
Right.
The entire season.
Right.
Like, he was either catching, shooting, or he was going.
Right.
But he does have a good post-game for a young guy. And, you know, one of the things that so many of the small ball fives don't have is they become, you know, face-up shooters. They can guard post players, but he can actually score. One-on-one in the post, he's really agile for a man of his strength.
Just the athleticism.
Yeah.
And like I said,
but it's not just vertical. Like, he moves laterally
strong.
Really well.
Yeah, and like you said, I think the move against UCF when he spun and got the N1 on the 7-footer. You've seen how he was able to stop and go into a second move. He has a lot of stuff that you can't teach.
Why do you think the one and duns, you know, the two schools that have produced the most one and duns, Duke and Kentucky,
right,
have not had more success in the NCAA tournament?
Good question. I think a lot of these kids are still young that first year. So, you know, the college is different to them. That's just like being in the NBA. Your rookie year is going to be different to you. But I love the fact when kids can go out of high school. I mean, you can get a job and work at McDonald's at 16, 17. Why you can't go play a game? You can go to war and kill yourself at 18, but you can't provide and play basketball a game. So I think guys, they should kill that rule. I mean, if you were physically able to play the game of basketball at 18 and go to the NBA like LeBron did, like Kobe did, I mean, like a lot of guys did, I think you should be able to. I don't think you should be forced to go to college.
Well, there's two different parts to that. First, I mean, actually, you could go out. You could go to the G League. You've always been able to go to the G League, mm-hmm, or go play overseas. And obviously, it's a collectively bargained upon rule. It's an NBA rule, as you know, not a college basketball rule.
Just like working at McDonald's, though. Same paycheck.
I understand, but I'm saying people hold the NCAA accountable for something that the NBA and the NBAPA agreed upon.
No
correct?
Question. Right.
Right? They're like, well, it's an NCAA. Like, no, it's not. Actually,
NBA rule.
Actually an NBA rule. And
right,
the problem is not the LeBrons and the Kobe's. The problem is all the other dudes that think they're LeBrons and Kobe's and are really not.
Well,
and
you can't say that because I was the second to the last pick. I didn't go to college.
Right.
I was the second to the last pick, and nobody expected me to make it 14 years. So you have some guys that people expect not to make it and make it, but at the same time, it has a lot to do with the people around them. You know, I was blessed. I came into the league with Stephon Marbury, Johnny Newman, Sherman Douglas. My second year was Steve Kerr, Tim Duncan, Danny Ferry, so Steve Smith. So I played with great coaches and around great guys. But when you have a lot of these guys, let's say a kid like Devin Booker,
yeah,
he's more mature. I'm just using as example. If he came into the league as a young kid on a team like Phoenix that wasn't winning, it would be hard for him because he has no veteran on the team. They're not winning, so everything is being nitpicked. It's going to be harder for him to succeed. But when you put a kid like that in a good environment, in a good organization that's used to winning, that knows how to mentor him, it's a different situation.
Steven Jackson joining us here in the Herd. All right, let's get to some NBA stuff. The Lakers have decided to shut LeBron down.
Mm-hmm.
First thing to me is that's a tough sale to your season ticket holder. Not only are you not going to see LeBron in the playoffs,
but you're not going to see LeBron the rest of the way. Is this a smart decision to shut him down?
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you? Okay, so you let him play, pulls an Achilles or anything in the last four or five games. What are you going to tell your fans going to the next season? Your season is really shot. You really don't have no hope. Rest him. Start building for next year. It don't make no reason for him to go out there and get hurt. You're not playing for anything.
Who's to blame in the pecking order of who's most to blame for this, what can only be deemed as a disastrous season? Who do you put up top? Who do you put beneath them? How does it go?
Are they all in the same boat? You can't point the finger at Magic. You can't point the finger at LeBron. You can't point the finger at Luke. You know, everybody's a part of the blame. You know, the young guys didn't develop like they thought. LeBron, he walked into a rude awakening. He didn't know the Western Conference was this deep and this good. Luke Walton, I've been said it, but he's not the coach for these guys. So a lot of stuff, you can't just blame one person. A lot of stuff went wrong, and, you know, that's why the season ended up the way it did.
See, I start with the premise that Magic screwed it up at the initial meeting because he didn't bring Luke. Like, look, if you're not going to bring Luke to the meeting, mm-hmm. then you should have fired Luke then,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're not going to bring him to the meeting, he's not going to be part of the sale for right. your team. But you've essentially told LeBron, like, the coach doesn't matter.
Right.
And LeBron's a smart dude. Like, he senses, like, wait, Luke's not here. He really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone reads the situation. And then, you know, the personnel they picked. Like,
right.
Right? Like, I'm with Joy. Joy's right. The injuries played a major factor. They were playing well. They were top seven in every defensive metric. They were a playoff team. And they were getting more and more cohesive, learning to play with LeBron James. We can't undersell the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But even without the injuries, like, look, they let Brook Lopez go. And they thought, you know, JaVale McGee and Tyson Chandler, who's just washed. Like, you know, like, then midseason even, they trade away Zubac.
Mm-hmm.
Who was their best big guy. He's only 21 years old and rookie control contract. Like, the personnel has been a major, major factor.
Yeah, and this is the first year we've seen LeBron go 28-27. You know, his record on the court. And, you know, like you said, injuries had a lot to do with it. You can't expect that your season to go the way you want it to you don't know what guy's going to be in the lineup. You know, and I think not having Lonzo Ball had a lot to do with it, too.
Sure.
You know, but like I said, people keep that same energy. It happens. People have been waiting all this time to bash LeBron, to have something bad to say about him. This man has been in the finals his whole career. But, you know, he just came into a rude awakening. The Western Conference is a different monster, LeBron. You got to know that.
Lost in all of this, because we're so focused on LeBron, there's a lot of talk of the MVP,
mm-hmm.
is the Thunder have gone from a team that, you know, I thought had a chance to maybe not beat the Warriors, but maybe the best chance to stretch out the Warriors,
mm-hmm.
right? You got a superstar player in a Russell Westbrook. You got a superstar player in a Paul George who is playing at an MVP level.
Mm-hmm.
You got a big physical team. They can place. They have a small ball lineup as well. And they got Dennis Schroeder, who was a starting point guard last year, kind of off the bench to come in and change what they look like in the fourth quarter. What's happened?
To me, I was at their last game against Golden State. At last home game. To me, they don't have any shooters. The team is not that good to me. When they were rolling and winning those games, you got two players that was just dominant. Like you said, Paul's having an MVP year. During that time before All-Star break and right after All-Star break when they was winning all those games, him and Russ were dominant.
Yeah.
When those two guys aren't dominant, the rest of the guys, they have no shooting. They have a guard on their team that they're paying $80 million that gets hack-a-shacked. Are you kidding me? So we got shooting forwards getting hack-a-shacked in the NBA now? This is what it's come to. So they have no shooting. Ferguson can't really shoot. He's an athlete, but he can't really shoot. Their third best player is Steven Adams, and he don't really want the ball. He want to do the dirty work.
Right.
So the team is talented. They have two talented players in Russ and Paul, but when they're not going, it's impossible. The team is not good.
Steven Jackson, NBA champion, 14 seasons in the NBA, and always giving us that sage wisdom. Jax, great stuff. So
thanks for having
so much.
Me, man.